Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of God.
Thank you. Well, there's a taste of what you will hear next week. And it is so wonderful to have that introduction to the City of Light, Cantata. Thank you. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Listen now to the word of God. And these are the words from Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this is the Magnificat. I'm sure you've heard that name before, otherwise known as the Hymn of the Virgin Mary. Now, the word Magnificat is defined as an utterance of praise. Mary found the amazing God-given ability to be joyful and thankful for the very first event leading up to Christmas, the conception. And maybe that is why we are joyful too. In the midst of the chaos of this season, it still seems that we're able to find a moment of joy in the midst of the pressures and the strife and all the things that kind of human beings put on us as pressures in this season. It is a God-given gift to find that joy. So I'm curious, what brings you joy during this season in Advent and Christmas time? Is it the lights? Is it the music? I think there's many things to choose from, but I have a couple of special Christmas decorations, I have to admit, that remind me of happy times on the farm at Christmas. I loved decorating our house up for Christmas, and so I would go all out. And each year, when I carefully unpacked these three little decorations and set them out on our kitchen table, I just automatically would feel this warm feeling of joy about the season. And it's amazing, it still works. The Mrs. Claus, if you'll notice, this is the beginning of my feminism, I guess. When I was given this toy, yeah, I loved the fact that it's a Mrs. Santa Claus in this sleigh. It's not Santa Claus. And just the little, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus salt and pepper shakers. One time I broke the Mrs. Claus and carefully pieced it back together. I was so grateful that I was able to glue it back together. So do you have some things in your memory that bring you some special sense of joy like this, that you see something and it floods you with a feeling of joy? I imagine that each one of us have something. In our noon hour of prayer time, last Friday, I asked the group that gathered to share a special Christmas memory that brought them joy. One shared that when she was about 9 years old, she had given up asking her parents for a kitty. She had asked them and asked them for a kitty every year and never got one. So she just gave up, even though she'd begged and pleaded, but no kitty ever showed up. Then on Christmas morning, it was time to go to their stockings and see what was inside. And sitting inside on the top of her stocking was a little kitten all curled up. She said it really stayed right there. So what a memorable Christmas that was for Ba Hoff, who I'm glad is here today. Grandpa remembered that special joy that she felt. Another said that her favorite Christmas memory was when she surprised her niece with a doll baby buggy that her sister had not been able to give to her niece. And she remembered the look of joy on her niece's face when she found the baby buggy under the tree with her name on it. It was such a gift to the giver that Christmas, and the giver was Helen McKenzie, who I'm glad made it today. And it's such a joy in giving and receiving at Christmas. Each year, we just find a way here to give great joy. And this is my new Christmas tradition that gives me great joy, and that is the Giving Tree Project. 70 families this year were able to receive so many wonderful things, and it was so much fun to be a part of the group that packed the food the other day and then to send it out. So I'm so grateful to Diane and Randy for leading this again this year, because it brought all of us, I think, great joy in doing this. So thank you so much for a successful one. Giving and receiving do provide us such great joy this time of year. And yet the kind of joy that we experience through suffering, actually, is also abundantly powerful. I know that sounds strange to find that joy is powerful when it comes out of suffering. But Reverend Oswald Chambers, I don't know, he's pretty famous. So many of you may know Oswald Chambers and his writings, but his devotion book says that the source of abundant joy is God's love. And he explains that the things we try to avoid in life, tribulation, suffering, and persecution, are the very things that end up producing abundant joy in us. Romans 8:37 says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So in all these trials and tribulations, not despite of them, but in the midst of them, we can find joy when we connect to that love that God has for each of us. Oswald Chambers goes on to say, "We don't know the joy of the Lord in spite of tribulation, but we know the joy of the Lord because of it." And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." So whether we experience daily events as terrifying or ordinary, the reason we can find joy is that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Trusting that God's love is constant is what brings us joy. And that is the deep feeling I think Mary felt when she sang this Magnificat song. Despite what must have been petrifying fear at the news that she would conceive from the Holy Spirit, she felt God's love in that news, and she understood it was all a blessing, no matter how complicated the whole situation might seem. And so this clip from the Nativity gives us a sense of what that moment might have been like for Mary when Gabriel gave her that confusing news that she was to give birth to the Son of God. So let's turn down the lights and watch the video for a minute.
The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Come, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus.
How can this be, since I've been with no man?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power from the Most High will overshadow you. And the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God.
Son of God?
Mary, even your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, for nothing said by God can be impossible.
Let it be done to me according to your word.
Pretty scary, wasn't it? I could feel chills actually when you could hear the breath of God start to speak to her. So still, though, Mary is able to sing a magnificent song after this. Mary shows us how to be joyful in the midst of adversity. For 9 months, she had to wait for Gabriel's message to come to fruition. And in the meantime, she deals with the prospect of either being thrown out of her family and rejected by Joseph, her betrothed, or being stoned to death for being pregnant before marriage. So the Magnificat song that Mary sings begins by recognizing that this event in her life is a blessing in the midst of major chaos happening at this time too among the Jewish people. And then she jumps to singing about the character of God who is blessing her. She says that the God who blesses her does so with mercy and strength. And she commends God then for satisfying the hungry. And that means not just the physically hungry, but it also means the spiritually hungry. A justice theme runs, though, throughout her song, showing that God cares for the lowly, feeds the hungry, and keeps his promises. Now, abundant joy is only possible when there is true sharing and giving of grace and blessings for all, not just for the powerful and the wealthy. And that is clear in the Magnificat as well. Mary rejoices because God has chosen her, a lowly, humble, faithful girl, to become the mother of God. God could have chosen a queen or an empress, but God chose a faithful, simple girl who is betrothed to a man in the lineage of King David. Now, joy in the midst of adversity is a theme in many of our hymns, but the one that we will sing right after the sermon, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, the author of the text of that, beloved, I love Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, the author understood that joy does come out of adversity. Henry Van Dyke wrote the words to this hymn that we will be singing, and he wrote these words in 1907. Van Dyke was a Presbyterian minister and a professor of English literature at Princeton University. And he chaired the committee that wrote our Presbyterian Book of Common Worship that we reflect upon still today. During World War I, Pastor Van Dyke was a U.S. Navy chaplain. And he wrote the text for Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee as a poem during the bleak days leading up to World War I. In it, he asked God to melt the clouds of sin and sadness and drive the dark of doubt away. But it ends with a Christian's sense of ultimate hope, predicting that we can be victors in the midst of strife. Now Mary was a victor in the midst of strife, as was her husband Joseph. They both found the ability to find joy in the midst of adversity that included a rough journey to Bethlehem and giving birth in a stable. So as a nurse, you always think, what a complicated gestational period that must have been for that baby. It's amazing, Jesus turned out okay. But I am thankful to find many role models besides Mary today in our contemporary society that help us understand what joy in the midst of strife looks like today. A few weeks ago, I showed you a video of Nick Vujicic. Well, first Maddie Stepanek, you all remember that one probably. And then I showed you one of Nick Vujicic, who said, "People ask how I manage to be joyful despite having no arms and no legs. The quick answer is that I have a choice. I can be angry about not having limbs, or I can be thankful that I have a purpose. I choose gratitude." And so another one that I've discovered that's such a great role model in joy through adversity is Terry Roberts. And she is my new joyful inspiration that I just recently discovered. Terry is a cancer survivor and a grandmother of 10 who lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And as a motivational speaker, she uses verses like this one from the Bible as her guide. It says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." And that's from Habakkuk chapter 3. Terry has a website called joythroughadversity.com. And she not only has had to struggle with breast cancer off and on over the past 10 years, but Terry's son was the shooter who killed 10 Amish girls in the school in Lancaster a few years ago. That was her son. Terry started writing and giving motivational speeches after she was unexpectedly forgiven for her son's violence by the Amish community. Rather than having to move away from Lancaster, which her family expected, they were embraced by love by the parents and relatives of the children that her son murdered. Can you imagine being those parents and being able to do that? You would blame the mother. People always blame the mother, usually, for what the children do wrong. And yet they forgave her to make sure she knew that God loved her. The deepest joy that we can feel, I think, comes from the act of forgiveness. So Terry's Joy Through Adversity talks have inspired thousands to not give up hope. Often during her presentations, she'll show this video of the song entitled Blessings by Laura Story. And I think about Mary, the mother of our Lord, and how she too would have been comforted by this song, since being the mother of Jesus Christ was full of joyful blessing and adversity, often at the same time.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. As we come to our prayer of the people, let us remember those on our prayer requests today. And one we've already mentioned, but I'll mention it again. It's a praise to God for the great job that Diane and Randy Pierce did with the Giving Tree. So it's another thanks be to God for the joy that we have received from that. We also want to remember Ted Crouch in our prayers. Ted had low blood pressure the other day and took a fall, and so he spent the night in the hospital for observation. But Alice was expecting him to be able to come home today already. Bob, do we know if he made it home yet, or is he still? Okay, so hopefully he's on his way home again. But keep Alice and Ted both in your prayers. It's an ongoing struggle, as you can imagine. But she's expecting he'll be back here with us after Christmas. We also want to remember all the ones that are on our prayer requests today and in the bulletin. So please remember to pray for these folks. And sometimes it's nice to be able to post these on your refrigerator at home and pray for those as well. And we want to pray especially for those today that don't have a church home to go to at Christmas. I think it must be such an empty feeling to just go to the mall for Christmas or just to eat for Christmas. And so let's think of people and neighbors too that maybe we could invite to come for the last few services that we have and into the new year, because we'll be celebrating Epiphany too, and people might get some joy out of understanding all of that goes along with Epiphany. And so our prayer of the people is responsive today, so let's pray our prayer responsively. As we joyfully await the glorious coming of the Christ, let us pray for the needs of the church, our community, and the world. We bless you, our God, mighty sovereign power, gentle, caring mother. You do not forget your children.
We bless you, our God, for your great gifts to us, creation, fragile and fascinating, scripture, revealing your truth.
And you bless us with your forgiving love, with the vision of your kingdom, shedding light in our darkness.
Bless us and serve us, God, with that vision of your kingdom. And as we voice our hopes to you now, may they strengthen us, reassure us, and move us.
We pray for those caught up in wars around the world, soldiers, refugees, and those who hold fast to the reasons for the fighting.
We pray for
We pray for those who are ill, coping with pain, fearing the worst, and for the health professionals who care for them.
We pray for those people struggling in relationships, especially at this standing time, when the cracks are kept just below the surface.
And for the deepest hopes of our hearts, we pray now. We pin our hopes on you, little baby, our God pushed out into the world through pain and into poverty.
Our God is with us, and our hope is reborn.
As we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
want to remind you that today we have the alternative Christmas market again in Bowen Hall. And if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping, it's a great way to finish it by honoring someone it's a giving and receiving kind of thing where you can buy something that helps someone in need and they receive a card in honor of that as their gift. And so it's a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas. We also have fair trade items on a table too that you can purchase if you need something material to go along with your alternative gift market. And now, as the body of Christ, may we always reflect the joy of Jesus Christ, who welcomes the least of these, the hungry, the stranger, and the lowly into our midst. And as it says in Hebrews, for by so doing, we may be showing hospitality to angels unaware. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.